A Life Everlasting, the extraordinary story of one boy's gift to medical science. My next guest joins in to talk about this and, well, to share her story and to see how maybe we can learn from it and to pay it forward. Sarah Gray, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us.
Morning, Shelley. How are you?
You're fine. Described as a donor parent, an organ, eye, tissue, and blood donation advocate, public speaker, and more, living in D.C. with your husband, son, and daughter. So happy holidays to you. But well, more importantly, thank you for the work that that you present to us.
Oh, sure. Thanks for having me on the show.
Tell us the storyline, please.
Sure. Well, I learned that I was pregnant about 7 years ago, pregnant with twins. I went in for the first trimester screening, and that's where I learned that one of the twins had a fatal birth defect, and he would not survive much after the birth, but the other one was healthy. My husband and I determined to carry the pregnancy to term, and because we had some extra time, we were able to plan to donate the organs of the unhealthy twin. Because he was too small to donate for transplant, he was able to donate for medical research. So, it was devastating after he died. We had a funeral for him, and a few years later, I was just wondering, what does it mean to donate to research? So this book is sort of my journey of how I met all the researchers and visited all the labs and asked them what they did with my son's organs.
Was your journey to find solace and understanding that took you beyond your son's donations?
It did. It did help my grieving process, but it really started from more of a place of curiosity. And I thought that since I had a personal connection with these places, that I thought, will they let me in? Will they open the door for me and welcome me and say, this is what we're doing? And I mean, I feel like I am, if people ask me what I do at my job, I'm more than happy to have them sit down and talk their ear off about what I do.
Yes.
And I thought, I bet these researchers would do the same. And I was right. They did. They let me in, they sat me down, and they told me all about their jobs. And for the most part, most of them had never met somebody like me who had donated tissues or organs to their studies. So they were sort of curious about me, too.
Was this Callum's brother?
Yes.
Yes. And did he have a name?
Yes. His name was Thomas. Thomas Ethan Gray.
Yes. Your book, again, A Life Everlasting, has titles in it. Can you tell us what you write about in Out of My Comfort Zone?
Yes. Oh, so I when I first started this process, I had a different job. I am now currently the director of communications for the American Association of Tissue Banks.
Wow.
So essentially, I was doing PR for a different nonprofit organization at the time of the birth and my son's death and the donation. But as I went on this journey and I started doing more advocacy, I switched jobs, so now I work in the field of donation.
Part of your quest was to trace exactly how Thomas's donations had been used. Can you give me an example even more particular here?
Sure. One of the labs, it's the lab where his retinas were donated, was the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. And I was able to meet the researcher. Her name is Dr. Arupa Ganguly, and she works in the genetics lab. And she had been waiting 6 years for a donation of this tissue. So when she received it, it enabled her to study the gene that causes tumor formation in a disease called retinoblastoma, which is a deadly cancer of the retina that affects children under the age of 5. And so she was able to compare, my son did not have retinoblastoma, and she needed a sample of tissue that represented a child that does not have this disease so that she could make a comparison. So she is currently working on finding, isolating the gene that causes tumor formation to hopefully cure or find better treatments for retinoblastoma.
His eyes, his liver, his cord blood to medical research, right? You want to talk about this?
Sure. His cord blood and his twin brother Callum's cord blood, along with the blood of my husband and I, were donated to the Duke University anencephaly study. So they are studying the disease that caused Thomas's death. And what was really unique with my twins' cord blood is that my twins were genetically identical, which is really confusing. Because when I think of identical, I think of twins that are the same. So how could one twin be alive and one twin be dead? Because, but the geneticists did test the blood. They confirmed that these twins were genetically identical, and they determined that essentially, you know, there's, one sperm, one egg. It mixes together, makes a baby, and then it splits in half and makes two identical twins. Well, something happened to one of them that didn't happen to the other in between that stage of development, and they were able to study this cord blood to try to figure out why that happens.
And tell us about Callum and Jocelyn.
Sure. Well, Callum is now 6 and a half. Mm-hmm. That's Thomas's brother. He's in first grade and he's learning how to read and he's doing great. He was not super thrilled when I first told him we were expecting a baby sister.
Yeah.
I think he just liked to being the only child, but now we have a baby girl, Jocelyn, who was just born in June. And in part because of this donation journey I've been on and now my new job at the American Association of Tissue Banks, I was inspired to donate her placenta and umbilical cord. So the placenta was turned into skin grafts that are supposed to help burn survivors or people going through different kinds of surgery. And the umbilical cord went to Cleveland Clinic to study for pediatric disease.
Does Callum know about his brother?
He does. There are pictures of them as babies because Thomas lived for 6 days. We took as many pictures of them together as we could. Callum's baby pictures have another kid in it, so we've explained to him ever since he was a baby who this other kid is. He knows he had a twin brother, and his twin brother had a very, very serious boo-boo on his head, and that is why he died. And we just explained to him that, you know, children are just like adults where there's accidents, there's diseases, sometimes people die, and that's just part of life. And while death is sad, it's not scary.
Hmm. A Life Everlasting, the extraordinary story of one boy's gift to medical science. Again, Sarah Gray, what's your take-home message to us, your reader?
My take-home message would be I was able to donate for research, and I had a very good experience doing that. Meeting all the researchers was a very empowering experience for me, and if you're ever in the position where you're asked to donate organs, eyes, or tissue for transplant or for research, think about my story. I can't guarantee my story will be the same as yours, but I had a very good experience.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us in Hardback, A Life Everlasting. Sarah, how do we find out more information?
You can go to my website, sarahgray.com, sarahgray.com.
Best to your family. Thank you for sharing and take care.
Thanks, Shelley.